رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, there are many benefits of reciting through the Pak from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the Day of Judgment is the one who has recited through the Pak upon me in abundance in this world. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, somebody once asked Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami rahmatullahi alayhi as to why he emphasized on remaining hungry. He rahmatullahi alayhi replied, if Fir'aun was hungry, he would never have claimed divinity. And if Qarun was hungry, he would never have rebelled against Allah and his Prophet Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. In other words, hunger filling their stomach led them to these difficulties. Truly good advice, because excessive wealth often leads to indulgence and sins. Excessive possessions and eating often leads to fearlessness and heedlessness in the duties of Allah and his punishment. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has stated that Sayyidina Abu Sulaiman radiallahu ta'ala narrated, to reduce one morsel from my dinner is dearer to me than spending the entire night in worship. He radiallahu ta'ala further stated, hunger is one of the treasures of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it's only given to his chosen servants. Subhanallah. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, we think hunger is a bad thing. We think in our society that nobody should remain hungry. And whenever our inner self tells us, our nafs tells us we have a desire for a food or a certain type of food, we should fulfill that desire. This is wrong, and not the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the brilliant Sahaba ikram. What we have been taught is that within hunger lie very special blessings. Within hunger are treasures to be gained. If we were blessed with the treasure of adopting hunger by eating less and putting a spiritual lock on our stomach, then, like these great awliya Allah, the saints of Allah, we too would feel the pleasure of the divine mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. We would become more grateful for the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we would be less heedless and more enthusiastic in worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal and ensuring that we fulfill the commands of Allah and his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In his early life, Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullahi was a king of Balkh. He rahmatullahi gave up his kingship and adopted a life of simplicity and poverty. Once he remained hungry for 7 consecutive days, as he did not have anything to eat. But he offered 400 rakat nafil each day, thanking Allah Azza wa Jal and showing his gratitude. Weakened by his extreme hunger, he rahmatullahi pleaded in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, if you bless me with a small amount of food, so that I can gain the strength to carry on worshipping you, I would be extremely grateful. In no time, a young man approached and invited him for a meal. As they sat, he suddenly said, Hazrat, I recognize you. I'm your escaped slave. I now own all this. And in actual fact, it all belongs to you. Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullahi replied, I free you and I grant you whatever you possess. Then, taking permission from the young man, he rahmatullahi departed. After this, he expressed his feelings in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal by saying, Ya Allah, I never desire anybody but you. I only asked you for a piece of bread, and yet you put the world in front of me. Subhanallah. Look at the simple life. Today, our life evolves around food. Yet, food was just something which was a means to gain energy
to worship Allah and to carry out tasks in this world. Today, we look for all sorts of tasty dishes. Yet, my dear Islamic brothers, this is extremely dangerous. The reason it's dangerous is that we are listening to our nafs. As soon as our mind tells us to do something, the shaitan and the nafs get together, we immediately obey. And once we do this with food, you might be thinking, what's the harm? Well, apart from the harms, the physical harms that we've spoken about, once you get into the habit of listening to your nafs, it incites you towards sin. And if you're in a habit of listening to it, whenever it says, do this, eat this, eat this, eat this, there will come a time where the nafs gives you bad ideas and the shaitan gives you ideas, and one starts to follow them. But if one breaks this habit, alhamdulillah, learns to control the nafs in something so fundamental and so routine that you gain the strength to overpower the nafs. My dear Islamic brothers, as the Sayyidina Ma'ruf Karhi rahmatullahi alayhi states, a doubtful morsel can at times spoil the condition of one's heart to such a degree that the heart does not accept any guidance for the rest of one's life. Allah, Allah, Allah. Sometimes a doubtful morsel deprives the eater of performing Salat al-Tahajjud for an entire year. Further, sometimes looking at anything impermissible deprives a person from reciting the Quran for a long time. My dear Islam brothers, today we do not care whether what we eat is haram or halal. We have a general concept. We don't work hard to keep our earnings pure. It is noted that Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, whoever consumes a single morsel of haram food, his salah will not be accepted for 40 days and his dua will be rejected for 40 days. Allah, Allah, Allah. One morsel, and yet your salah and your du'as are rejected. Today, we eat so much and don't care where it comes from. Brothers sometimes don't even bother to read the packet properly to check whether the ingredients are halal or haram. We've become so lazy and so heedless, but we are now allowing our laziness, our heedlessness to affect even the most basic of checks that we do. We don't really care of where we eat, which restaurant, which takeaway, how the food is prepared, whether it's properly prepared, even whether there is any guarantee that it is halal. And then when our du'as are rejected or not accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, we wonder why. Perhaps, my dear Islamic brothers, it's the food that we eat. It is reported that when a person eats a haram morsel, every angel of the earth and the heavens keeps cursing him until that haram morsel remains in his stomach. If he dies in the same state, hell will be his abode. Allah, Allah, Allah. Yet, if one looks at the other side, Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, when a person decreases his consumption of food, his chest is filled with nur, spiritual light. And Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullahi alayhi said, I remained in the company of some saints in the mountains of Lebanon, and each of them gave me a counsel which he asked me to convey to the people. One told me that he who fills his stomach with food will not attain the pleasure of Allah azza wa jalla in worship. The second said, he who sleeps a lot will not have blessings in his age. Third, he who desires only the pleasure of the people will be despairing of the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And finally, he who often backbites and speaks unnecessarily will not die as a Muslim. Dear brothers, it is a fact that overeating burdens the stomach. It causes lethargy, it causes laziness, it causes problems within the body. It brings about a lack of concentration in worship. Many of us have got home. We've got the energy, we've got the zeal. We want to pray. And suddenly we think, I'll pray after I've eaten. And yet, when after we've eaten, we stand on the prayer mat, we get lazy. The concentration isn't there. That zeal, that enthusiasm isn't there. And we're literally just taking a burden off our shoulders. This is what food does. Today, by trying to concentrate and eat less than our appetite and remaining hungry, we can help control our nafs and our desires. We can help control this strong urge to commit sin, and we can make ourselves obedient in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Hazrat Sayyidina Hamid Lafaf Rahmatullah Alayhi was once asked by a person for advice, and he replied, "Make a cover for the protection of religion like the cover of the Quran." When he, Rahmatullah Alayhi, was asked, "How can you make a cover for religion? And what was meant by this?" He replied, "Refrain from useless speech, unnecessary company, and eating excessively." My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, eating excessively has always been considered a problem. He, Rahmatullah Alayhi, went on to say, "If you knew how the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions of the Muslim would be treated in paradise as guests, you would never eat food on a full stomach in this transient worldly life." Subhanallah. Hujjatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi stated, "Eating food to a full stomach causes loss of passion and sweetness in worship. Ibadat, luzzat." Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq r.a., the best of the rest of creation after the Aqsa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the messengers of Allah, has stated, "Ever since I became a Muslim, I have not eaten food to a full stomach so that I can be blessed with the passion and sweetness of worship, lazzat in worship. Likewise, since I became a Muslim, I have not had a full drink in the desire of having the drink of beholding Allah Almighty, Azza wa Jal." Subhanallah. Hazrat Sayyidina Sufyan Thawri, Rahmatullah Alayhi, stated, "Worship is quite an art, which is learnt in solitude, and its tool is hunger." Today we think worship is a physical action where we need that excessive energy. But my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of the channel, look at what our great scholars are saying. Worship is quite an art, which is learnt in solitude, and its tool is hunger. So the more we control our hunger, the less we eat, the more we enjoy and climb to the heights of spiritual enlightenment in prayer. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bujair rahmatullah alayhi narrated that Aqsa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, "Many people eat delicious foods and lead a luxury life in this world, but they will be hungry and naked on the day of judgment." Allah, Allah, Allah. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Sulaiman Dharani rahmatullah alayhi stated, "The key to the world is to fill the stomach, and the key to that hereafter is to remain hungry." My dear Islamic brothers, all these different sayings of Aqsa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the great awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, all show us that remaining hungry isn't just something which is recommended, but it is crucial to gain spiritual enlightenment. It is crucial to become closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Hunger has many, many advantages. It's not just something that is an extra. It is something that needs to be strived for. Hunger also gives you a realization, an appreciation of food. When you're hungry, you realize how the poor people are feeling, and you realize how blessed you are. Hunger will help you remember the hunger and thirst of the hereafter. If you have a habit of remaining hungry, the scholars of deen say that you will have less inclination towards sin, less passion towards sin. If you eat less, keep yourself hungry, then the shaitan and your nafs will be weak and will struggle to incite you to commit sin. When you eat less, you will sleep less. You will be more organized. You will have more time. When you eat less and control your appetite and have this appreciation of hunger, you will find ease in worship. Further, we are told that when you eat less, you appreciate little sustenance and you are content with the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. Today, Even the most richest people in the world are not content, so they are poor. But a poor person who is happy with the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal is richer than the richest person. Why? Because he is content, he is happy with what he has. And then, one of the advantages of being hungry, the scholars write, Amir al-Sunnah Dhamma Barakatul Aliyah copies, he says, good health. A lot of people today turn to the gym, a lot of people turn to all sorts of diets, a lot of people turn to all sorts of different methods of making themselves healthier. One of the best methods that you can adopt is to adopt the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst eating, and especially the sunnah of eating less than your appetite and only eating when you are hungry. If you were to adopt this, then you don't need to get up at 5 a.m. and go to the gym. Then you don't need to run 5 miles a day. You can do with basic exercise, but because you have controlled your food intake, your body is now balanced. We thought hunger was nothing. We thought hunger was a bad thing. We thought hunger was something we should never have to experience because we live in the modern world and we have the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yet what we were missing was that hunger is such a fundamental part of our being and our deen and our spiritual enlightenment. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that the stomach and the private parts are the doors of hell, whose foundation is built on overeating and eating to a full stomach. On the other hand, humility and modesty are the doors of Jannah, and their foundation is built on hunger. The one who closes the doors of hell and opens the door of paradise is the one who takes on hunger and stops eating on a full stomach. Proximity to one door means distance from the other. If you humble yourself with hunger and become closer to the door of paradise, you become far from the door of hell. While the one who indulges in misusing his stomach and his private organs gets closer to hell and further away from paradise. Allah Allah Allah. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar al-Farooq stated, refrain from filling your stomach while eating and drinking, as it harms your body, causes disease, and brings about laziness in worship. Adopt moderation in eating and drinking. This is necessary, as this improves physical fitness and saves one you from needless expense. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, there are great, great benefits of staying hungry, eating only at meal times, and then eating less than one's appetite. I appreciate that we can't adopt the great way of the great saints that we've mentioned, but we're not asking to. All we're saying is that we adopt the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we eat in moderation. We eat as much as we need to without overindulging, because by overindulging, we move away from worship. We become lazy in salah. We become lazy in supplication in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Buzurgani Deen writes, and it's written in Ahya al-Ulum by Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, that one who overeats often has difficulty benefiting from knowledge and wisdom. He often has little compassion for others. He treats others like objects. Worship seems to be burdensome for such a person. He is surrounded by his own desires. His world evolves around him. And while others are going to the masjid, the one who eats is often heading to the toilet. Allah. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, food should be used as a tool to achieve great things in this world. It shouldn't be a hindrance to us. Food is a great blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is narrated that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, whenever you have to carry out any important piece of work in the world, do not eat before performing it, because food impairs wisdom. Sayyidina Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi narrated, there are two causes for hardness of one's heart. The first is to eat to a full stomach, and the second is to speak in excess. So my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, we need to control what we eat. We need to be very, very careful. Sayyidina Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Farooq Azam, would not eat more than 6 or 7 morsels in a meal. When was the last time we checked how many we eat? Often when we sit down, we don't even bother counting how much we're eating. We carry on going and carry on going and carry on going until there is no room for any more. And then we complain that we have heedlessness in salah, we can't concentrate, we don't have the enthusiasm to read the Quran, we don't have the enthusiasm to do madni work, we don't have the enthusiasm to do the work of deen. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, one of the ways to help increase your control over your nafs is to attend the weekly ijtimaat of Dawat Islami, where you will learn the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you attend the Madni kafilas and travel with the devotees of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 3-day kafila, during that time you will help control your appetite. You will know that you don't have food on demand, that food is served at particular times, and in between those times you will learn how to remain hungry. And when you sit down to eat, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, brothers will remind you to eat less than your appetite in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this way we will gain great knowledge. Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has narrated that the eyes of a person who fills his stomach are filled with sleep. Even if he performs tahajjud, he feels no sweetness in it. Then people have all sorts of other problems when they overeat, which means that they have to regularly perform ghusl. And in a mursal hadith is one where it is narrated by a tabi directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaving the companion out. And in the hadith of Barakah it says, without doubt, shaitan circulates in a man's body like blood. Therefore, one should narrow shaitan's ways by hunger and thirst. The pious saints have stated, the awliya Allah have said, eating food to a full stomach is the stream in the nafs through which the shaitan makes his inroads. On the contrary, hunger is the stream of the soul where the angels pass through. So, we should narrow the path of the shaitan by remaining hungry and thirsty. And Hazrat Sa'al bin Abdullah Tustari rahmatullah alayhi used to remain hungry for 40 consecutive days, and then he would eat a little. Nearly 1 dirham was sufficient for the expenses of his supply of food for an entire year. He rahmatullah alayhi would gave 6 pearls of wisdom. He said, on the day of judgment, no deed will be more beneficial than the act of refraining from excessive eating, because this is the sunnah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The wise consider hunger as an extremely advantageous thing for religious and worldly matters. He rahmatullahi then said, I do not consider anything more harmful than excessive eating for those who desire salvation in the hereafter. Number 4, knowledge and wisdom have been placed in hunger, while sin and ignorance have been placed in filling the stomach. Allah, Allah, Allah. My dear viewers of Madni Channel, I read that one again. Think about it very carefully. Knowledge and wisdom have been placed in hunger, while sin and ignorance have been placed in filling the stomach. Then, Madani Pearl number 5, he, rahmatullah alayhi, says, he who keeps his nafs hungry is not disturbed by satanic whispers. It helps control the waswasas of the shaitan. When a person undergoes hunger, sickness or trial, then the mercy of Allah turns towards him at that time. Subhanallah. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, look at the great benefits of remaining hungry for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We humiliate ourselves by stuffing ourselves, even when others are about. We eat through bad habits. We eat on impulse. But if we control ourselves, it gives us great dignity, pride and wisdom to eat, controlling our appetite. And not only do we gain the worldly benefits, but also gain the benefits of the hereafter. If we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Alhamdulillah, we will gain good health and build up a great treasure of reward for the hereafter. And I remind you of that beautiful hadith in Baraka Baraka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The one who loves my sunnah loves me, and the one who loves me will be with me in Jannah." Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.